Hey, everybody. Welcome to today's call. Susan Baracco here. Glad to be with you today. This beautiful first Thursday, right, of March? Indeed. Welcome, welcome. Glad you're here. Kristen, great to see you. Welcome aboard. We're going to spend just a few minutes waiting for other folks to join us. It just turned the top of the hour, so we'll give other folks a few minutes. And we'll start off with a just for fun question. If you feel like answering, that would be great. Kristen, also, if you wouldn't mind, just say hello in the chat so I'm sure that you can hear me okay. Make sure that my audio is working properly today. So, and I don't know what it's like where you are. I know, Kristen, I think you're in the same part of the world that I am, actually, in the Northeast in the U.S. So pretty beautiful day today, a little windy, but beautiful. We are just a reminder to anyone who is on the call today or listening to this recording. Today is the 4th of March. We have one more call this month. It's the 18th, and I will share with you a little tidbit that Ed will actually be here for the call on the 18th. So it's a good time for you to jump on board if you want to have a conversation with him before the end of the program. So mark your calendars for the 18th. If you can be here in person, that would be great. March 18th will be the last call for the program, actually. All right. I think it might be a quiet call today, Kristen. It looks like just you and me. That's okay. I'm going to jump in and hopefully people will join us. Some people might just be running late. I've had that happen many times. So I'm going to start with first question that I have for you is to share a win. Whether it's big or small, would love to hear about what's been going well for you in the last 2 weeks since we spoke. If there's anything that you've accomplished, would love to hear about it so that we can celebrate with you. And if you would just go ahead and type your answers in the chat so I can see them, that would be great. All right, quiet group today, indeed. Kristen, I hope I am hoping that you can hear me and that you're able to respond. If you would, just say hello in the chat. That could be part of the problem. Hey, Julie, welcome. Glad you joined us. We're just getting started. And hoping you can hear me. If you would, Julie, just type in the chat. Haven't gotten a response from Christian yet, so just wondering if my audio is working properly or not today. Great. Thank you, Julie. We're just getting started, kind of a quiet group today, but would love to hear from you about any wins that you have to share in the last 2 weeks since the last time we were together, big or small, anything that you've accomplished. And I know you've had a lot going on, just based on our emails back and forth. would love to hear about anything that you've accomplished in the last week or so, so that we can celebrate with you. All right. Great. Julie says she's working on her website copy and it is coming along. Congratulations. Takes a little bit of time. That's a fairly big part of the process. So congrats for getting that going. It's awesome. And I'm not sure if Christian is still with us or not. I haven't heard from him at all. So we're going to jump right in to the question and answer part. Actually, I'm going to ask you a question, and Julie, you just explained you're working on implementing your website. And Christian,
I just unmuted if it's just the two of us.
I'm not sure if Christian is here. He's logged in, but I'm not sure he hasn't responded to anything. So I'm not sure if he's otherwise busy. So I'm just going to jump onto the question part. And if you have any questions, Julie, feel free to anything that I can help you with today, that would be great.
I don't have a specific question. I'm just kind of in the middle of trying to figure out my website copy. I want to get it done so I can get it to you guys soon or then later.
Yeah.
I think the biggest challenge for me is just, I mean, at the situation, I work a job right now, and I'm trying to like figure out how to position myself so I can launch, so I can go full time freelance. Mm-hmm. But
absolutely, absolutely. I did the same thing, Julie, when I first started. Eight years ago now. I was working full time. I was actually a salesperson, sales rep for a company, and I was a road warrior. So I was driving all day, every day, home at night. But I would do that, drive all around the state and then head back home at night and then spend hours, working on my business at night and trying to catch up with prospects and things like that. So, probably one of the more difficult periods in my life, I have to admit. It was pretty challenging. And I think oftentimes people come through this program in the exact same situation. And what we usually recommend is to, I know that the website piece is big and that you're obviously trying to get that done. But I think the best part, the best plan is to set some time that feels manageable to you on a daily basis. And it might be 15 minutes. You might have to start with a fairly small amount of time, or maybe 30 minutes, or maybe even 60 minutes, whatever works for you and your schedule, and say, I'll work 60 minutes a day and get whatever I can done. And then by the end of the week, if it's 60 minutes, you've got yourself 5 hours invested in moving this forward. So sometimes just doing a small amount and then increasing, like maybe start and say, 30 minutes a day, I'm going to commit to that. And then see how it goes. If 30 minutes is easy, then bump it up, and do more. So, it's such a balancing act in the beginning when you're trying to make this transition. And I think not getting overwhelmed is critical. It really is, because then you get stuck, you know, and when it feels too big and you're trying to do it all, you get burned out and you get stuck. And we certainly don't want to see you doing either one of those things. So I'd strongly recommend thinking about, you know, how can I fit this in for, you know, X amount of time per day, so that I'm, and whatever I get done in those minutes, that's what I get done. And I just keep working in that way. I also was working 7 days a week at that time. I would work obviously 5 days for my company, the company that I worked for, and then I would spend the weekends catching up and doing things. So it was a place I didn't want to stay for long if I didn't have to. So that's, you know, just speaking from experience, I understand how very challenging it can be and how exhausting it can be to try and work full time and pull this together on the side. So any thoughts? I mean, does that make sense? Is that helpful?
It does. I mean, the hard part for me is that, my work, requires a lot of my creative mental energy.
I understand.
Time with all bandwidth, but, yes. And it fluctuates. So I think I'm hoping to just push through a couple projects and then I'll have the bandwidth to do what you suggested. But I wonder if you have any suggestions or just thoughts about, you know, taking that leap, leaving the comfort of a steady paycheck so you have all the energy to go into this.
Yes. It is the million-dollar question, so to speak. You know, and everyone is so different in terms of, you know, what you're personally dealing with in terms of income and things like that. I think it's so personal. I was actually, I call it blessed, because I was killing myself, working full-time, and then I was starting to pick up clients. I had picked up clients, and I was like, it got crazy. I would pull over on the side of the road, pull into a parking lot somewhere and take a call from a client. And sometimes I wouldn't have reception. It was crazy. It was a crazy time for me. And then I would get home and try and write because I was writing blogs. And same thing, Julie, I was like, you need creative bandwidth. And I was driving all day and talking to people and I was exhausted. And so it was really not the best combination of things, but it was what I had to do. The part that I was blessed with is that, I had actually taken a few days off to go to a conference, a writer's conference, and came back and went back to work that Monday. My manager called us all in and they laid off the entire sales team. And I went skipping out of the building. People are like, what is wrong with you? I'm like, I am so happy. This is like the best news ever because I don't have to make the decision. It was made for me. So in some ways I kind of got out easy. It was frightening because I did not have enough clients and enough revenue, you know, income to support my needs at the time. But what it meant is that I just pedal to the metal. I just put, you know, I was still working long days, but now I was working long days just doing this, was prospecting and pushing and asking for more work from my existing clients and really just trying to build. You know, as far as making that decision, there's a couple of things that you want to think about. And I think one of the easiest things to do is think about income. So, and only you can answer this, but what I would suggest is you sit down and you think about, okay, what's the absolute minimum income that I need in order to make this work? What would be the minimum? What could I get by with? And then for how long? So if I come up with a number and I say, okay, so I could limp along for 2 months or 3 months in this scenario, then that's the number you start shooting for, is to build your momentum and get enough clients to get you and get enough, you know, projects on your plate to get you closer to that. And then you're going to get to that point where you're not going to be able to do it all anymore. And you're just going to have to take that step in the right direction, and make that choice. But you're going to have to, I would recommend that you think about, you know, so what are my numbers actually look like? You know, what are my expenses around running this business? What other expenses am I responsible for? And what does that look like? The other thing that I would also encourage you to consider is to find perhaps a part-time writing position, maybe poke around for that. something that would give you that steady income while you're building the other side of your business. So that's another option. I've seen people do that where they take part-time work. The other thing, Julie, to consider would be finding, hitting some agencies, hitting up some creative agencies that do this kind of work for, they do marketing for clients, and marketing comes in all shapes and sizes. See if you can become a go-to writer, see if you can position yourself and get into an agency. I did that in the beginning, and that was not, it wasn't super well paying, but it was steady. And that was what really helped me to get through those first, you know, first phase of my business while I was building it. And then certainly, I mean, I was let go. So I had suddenly all this time, and that's when things really turned around. But in the meantime, so step one might be for you to just focus on, okay, what are my numbers? Let me start working towards that. Step two is to find a part-time thing that takes up more of your time, but that then pays you that steady income so that then you can perhaps give your notice and make your transition. So lots of things to think about, but definitely some steps to take as you start looking at this. Because I think when we look at it, we say, oh, I can't quit my job. Well, what would the circumstances need to be? Where would you need to be in order for that to be a yes, I'm ready, I can move forward? And obviously only you can answer that, so.
Yeah, that's good feedback. That's good advice.
Yeah, well, good luck. I wish you the best. It is a hard decision. I was fortunate, like I said, it was made for me. So I wasn't ready and I was scared to pieces, don't get me wrong. But I walked out, I was ecstatic, but I was also scared. And then I thought, you know what, maybe I'll look for even a part-time job that may not have anything to do with writing, but at least it allows me that breathing room to still continue to work on my business. So, you know, like I said, there's a lot of different ways that you can package this to make it work for you.
Yeah, totally. Thank you.
You're very welcome. All right. And I know a couple of folks have joined us since we got talking. So Rhonda and Thea, welcome. Great to have you here. We have a small group today, so we kind of dove right into the questions. And Julie was here. She was challenged with a few things in regards to her, you know, how to make this transition. Great question. Many, many people have that as they come through the program. But I want to encourage both of you, Rhonda and Thea, to go ahead and submit a question if you have one, and I'll bring you on and we'll have a conversation. We've got a small group, so I can definitely, if you've got more than one question or you want to have a discussion about some piece of what you're working on, certainly feel free to type that in so I can see it, and then we'll bring you on. And I also wanted to repeat before all of you got here, I think Christian was the only one who was on. There will be one more coaching call on March 18th. And if you can, mark your calendar for that. I wanted to let you know that Ed will be joining us for that call. So you'll have a chance to talk with him and work with him on the 18th. So make sure you put that in your calendar. So he'll be joining us for our last call of the program. So. Right. So don't be shy. We've got a lot of time and a lot of space here to answer your questions and work on anything that you might need help with, anywhere that you're stuck in the program, anything that you have a question about. Please feel free to type it in the chat so we can bring you on and get you moving forward again. And I think many of you are still kind of in the early stages of the program, working on website and maybe getting started with warm email prospecting. I think that's another area that people typically have a lot of challenge or questions about. So feel free to type in any question that you have while I sip my tea. All right. So if you don't have a specific question, I will ask all of you to respond. And Rhonda, thank you for the update. So she's gotten a little behind and working on the website. Absolutely. So a couple of things. So Theo, I see you have a question about what's the best way to build a warm email process. And let me just pull up my paperwork here, because in session, and hopefully session 5 is all about warm email prospecting. And so what's really awesome, and that's what Rhonda just said, is there are templates, wonderful templates that really help you to get the warm emails written. And then start actually prospecting, and also tools for finding email addresses for people that that you want to connect with. So that is the basis for the prospecting, the warm email process. And then the final session of the program, session 8, is about nurturing and systematizing your prospecting. So that is getting in the rhythm of sending out regular emails and building that whole process. So there's an awful lot to it, Theo. Would be something that would be difficult to answer, succinctly here in this format. Certainly the program has really everything you need. What's wonderful is Ed talks a lot about not yet ready clients. So maybe you've reached out and someone got back to you and said, hey, I'm interested, but I just don't have a need right this minute. Them you want to keep in touch with, right? You want to kind of, so how often do I touch base and that kind of thing. Depending on, there's a lot to think about there, but if someone says, hey, I'm interested in what you have to say, but I don't have a need right now, you could even ask them, when would you like me to check back in? Do you have anything coming up in the future? And if not, I'll just plan to check in with you in a couple of months, or, in a month, in a couple of weeks, something like that. For people who are non-responders, they might be really great targets. Maybe they're a really great prospect. They're the right fit for what you're trying to do, and they're the right audience. He talks a lot about putting them in the mix of follow-up as well. So just because they didn't respond doesn't necessarily mean they're not interested. A couple of things can happen when you're sending warm emails. You're sending them out to someone who's never received an email from you. It could end up in their spam folder, very possibly. It happens a lot. It could get buried in the very long list of emails that they get inundated with every day, and maybe they just overlooked it. There's a lot of different reasons why people don't respond. And I've heard stories of people going through this process and reaching out to someone via warm email 6, 7, 8 times before they actually respond. And then finally they do. And then they end up with a client. So, it's a process. The warm email process is one that is what we like to say is a marathon, not a sprint. It's something that takes time, and you need to build rapport with the people that you're reaching out to. And you do need to have a process, Theo. So you're absolutely on the right track. But like I said, session 5 is where you'll be introduced to that whole process. And then session 8 is where you kind of circles, it kind of closes the loop on that whole process. So, and Rhonda, it sounds like you, just from judging from your comment there, that you had started on your website but didn't realize there was templates on certain, certain website providers have wonderful templates. Wix is one of them. I think I want to say Squarespace, maybe, is that what they call themselves now? A lot of the a lot of the website providers are doing templates, and yeah, they're fabulous. So hopefully that'll help you get caught up a little bit there. And Theo, I'm going to, actually, you asked another question. Do you ever mix in cold calling? I'm actually going to ask you to unmute, because I'd love to ask you a couple of questions about that. Are you there?
Can you hear me?
Hi there, I can. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Great. Great. So tell me a little bit about the audience that, you know, your target audience. What I don't recall who you're going to be focused on.
I'm focusing on anyone who markets to the property management industry. So
That's right. Okay.
Vendors, but they all tend to focus on servicing properties.
Correct. So I have mixed feelings. I know Ed's not a super big fan of cold calling per se, but people do it and they have success. It really has more to do, Theo, with your level of comfort. Most people despise cold calling, so they don't want to have anything to do with it. However, if it's something that makes sense for you, I think it's all about how you go about making cold calls. Maybe sending out an email or two first and then following up with a call is a good way to approach it. And, you know, the other thing that we usually recommend and I would recommend is to see, I don't know how many folks that you're going to be targeting are on LinkedIn and are at all active on LinkedIn, but reaching out and maybe connecting with them on LinkedIn first so they at least have seen your name. And maybe seen some things that you're posted or maybe you've commented, trying to build some kind of a relationship, even a little bit of connection, before you pick up the phone is going to just give you a better chance. I think overall, all of that being said, you could absolutely mix in cold calling. What I like to say is that this is a huge experiment for you. You might find that cold calling is fantastic. It might work beautifully for you. Maybe it's for your industry, and that's what I was asking about your industry. Some industries are more open to receiving those kinds of calls than others. It might work out really well for you. Right. So I would suggest, Theo, that you mix it in at some point and see how it goes. Just try it. See, if you have a comfort level with it and you have a script of some sort that you feel comfortable using to reach out to these people with, then I would try it and see how it goes. It's an experiment. See what happens. You may get nowhere. You may get five new clients. Hard to tell.
I've done it before. I hate it, but I know the law of averages.
Yes.
You know, it's a real thing and it can help. So I was kind of considering it, but so you think it's still a good approach to start with LinkedIn and then emails, that's enough to kind of get some business going, that cold calling isn't necessary, it's just kind of maybe just an add-on maybe?
I think so. I think do it as an add-on and see again. So, the approach would be to try a little bit of everything and see what works with your audience. So they might respond better to cold calls than they do to cold emails, or a warm email kind of thing. I don't know. It's until you start getting out there and trying a mix. But I always suggest, and Ed and I both recommend, a mix of approaches. So using LinkedIn, using warm emails, using networking of some kind, and I know that's still really hard right now. Hopefully that is going to start to change this year as things start to open back up, that, maybe networking is something a little bit, more that you're going to have a chance to do, but cold calling might, and try that. Try everything, a little bit of everything, and see what kind of response you get. And you might find that cold calling just works for you. It might be a really great way to find a couple of clients quickly, to find some people quickly. I think it's worth a try. But I also set an expectation for yourself with this and to say, you know what, I'm going to try cold calling for X number of calls or X number of weeks or whatever, set some kind of a limit and then sit back and say, okay, I made 100 phone calls with zero response, or, people hung up on me or whatever, they said they weren't interested. So then use that data to decide, okay, how much time do I now continue to put into that? Is that worth it? Do I keep trying? But until you start building some data and some experience, it's going to be hard to say one way or another, like, yes, this is the best. We usually, Ed usually says start with the warm emails to generate the calls for those first time calls. For your industry, it might work really well in reverse. So it's worth the experiment for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I've done it before in sales in the past, and I know it does work, but I've never tried warm emails before. I think you're right. I think that'd be better to at least get your name out there so that they know calling them.
Yep. And then you can always use that and say, you know what, I sent you an email and I wanted to, and I'm following up. And I think, you know, one of the things that Ed is a very low key approach, because what we're trying to do is build a relationship where you're a resource and an expert. You're someone that they turn to for, you wouldn't expect, and I know we've talked about, I think Ed has talked about, you know, you wouldn't expect a doctor to cold call you and say, hey, you want to come be a client of mine? You know, we look at them so differently as an expert, a subject matter expert. And I think that's one of the things that cold calling can just feel a little awkward, in terms of I'm a professional and I'm a resource for you. That's the only thing to consider, is to see, you know, how is it going to come across? Which is why I said, if you have a really great script that you're going to use, that, you know, hey, this is a great way for me to open the door, then that might be just the thing that works for you. So.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, great. Well, good luck with that. I'll be interested and you know, feel free to post in the Facebook group and let us know how you make out. I mean, if that's something you're going to start with soon, I'd love to hear about it and hear how you make out.
Okay. I don't want to scare anyone, but I'll let you know.
No, definitely. All right. Well, good luck.
Thank you.
Great question. Comes up a lot. I had a gentleman that came through the program a couple of years back, and he was just so fired up about cold calling. Oh my God, go to cold call. And I had the same conversation with him, to be honest, was, you know, we want to present ourselves as professionals, and not that cold calling is not professional. It can be. And I don't mean to set that as a, you know, an expectation, but this is about building relationship. And so as I think about building relationship, I mean, my first, of course, you know, I'm a huge LinkedIn fan, a proponent of LinkedIn. So for me, it's going there and building relationship first. And just kind of walking with people a little bit, letting them get to know you and see what, you know, how you think and how you operate, especially these days. My goodness, how many phone calls do we get about our car warranty? I mean, oh my gosh. And I don't want to come, I would never want to come across that way to a prospective client. They're just too important to me, and I want to build a relationship for sure. So we just want to be mindful of, you know, how does that fit into the mix? And it does have to do with your audience. If your audience is open to it, if it's something that they expect providers to call them, that might be a different story. But if you're working with let's say you're targeting law firms, for example, that is a place where you're going to want to build a relationship with someone at the firm before, even a little bit of a relationship before you pick up the phone to reach out to them. So it's a delicate dance until you get to know your audience and you're comfortable knowing that your approach is getting you connected with the right clients, and with the best clients. And that takes a little bit of just trial and error, unfortunately. There's no other way to there's no other way to find that out except to try it and see how it goes. So awesome. Great question. All right. Well, I know we have a small group today. I don't know if anyone has anything else that's something they need help with. We've got plenty of time. So if you've got other questions or other thoughts, anything else that you'd like to be addressed or have addressed, please feel free to let me know. right. And I'd love to know, if you don't have a question, I was going to ask this. I'd love to know from those of you who are on the call, if you would just type in and let me know what your why is for being on this journey and heading in this direction. I know many of you have come from various backgrounds. Julie, I know you're working full time and trying to make the transition, and other folks on the call, you know, looking for ways to move into copywriting and being a freelancer. What was it that, what's your why? You know, what brought you to this program? What brought you to this journey of heading in this direction? I'd love to know what you're looking to achieve, what you're hoping to achieve by becoming a freelancer. There's something in that is your goal, whatever goal you have in mind in regards to this. And it might be an income goal, and you don't have to share the details, but just, it's, you know, yes, I want to, you know, increase my income, or maybe it's to have the freedom. Maybe it's to impact a particular part of your life. Would love to know if you just would share with me, type in the chat, just what's the one or two things, the one or two reasons that you've decided to take this path. I'd just be interested in knowing. I know for me, while you're working on typing that in, I know for me personally, I figured out pretty quickly that I'm not a very good employee. I've always been an entrepreneur at heart and at mind, and tend to be, kind of single-minded in that way. And not that I'm not a team player, but boy, I just don't do well with bosses necessarily. Clients are a different kind of boss, but so I had cycled through a number of jobs and just realized, and I'd been an entrepreneur in a number of different businesses before I got into copywriting. My background is crazy with entrepreneurial experiments, so to speak, and some that worked out well and some not so much. So it's interesting, but it's just great to be circling back around to being an entrepreneur, which is personally where I belong. It was very much the right fit for me all the way around. So Rhonda, thanks for sharing. She says, I'm hoping to supplement my social security so it can move out of my sister's house. Great. I've worked with clients for some time, but I'd like ones that pay something and pay better. Absolutely. So you're looking to level up your level of clients. And I absolutely understand. That's another thing that takes time. So what this program is intended to do is get you started and to really just get a couple of clients in the door so that you can start learning how to work with clients, learning what you do and don't like, and to then start leveling up. And there's a whole process to that too. And that just takes time. And I know it's a mindset shift. I know even for myself, as I think about, every time I speak with a new prospect, and I've been at this for quite a while, for many years, so I'm in a different place than you folks are, but every time I speak with a new client, I think, all right, I'm raising my rate this time. And I do a different type of writing than you folks do. I don't do copywriting anymore, but even when I was doing copywriting, I was like, you know what, I'm not charging $200 for a blog anymore, I'm charging $500 for a blog. And the next thing I know, people are paying me that. And then I went to $700. And next thing I know, people are like, okay, they're paying me for that. And I'm thinking, wow. So it was a combination of me targeting the right clients, connecting with them, getting them to hire me, and then asking for what I'm worth. So that all takes time, and it's a patient process. All right. All right, so Theo said he wants to have more control over his time and his income. Absolutely. You're heading in the right direction, Theo, so good for you. Christian said, I've always avoided trying to get a normal job. Same here. I wanted something I could do from anywhere so I could have the freedom to get up and move if I want, and also to be able to make enough money to pursue other business ideas. That's really great, Christian. That's use this as a foundational foundational work, so to speak. And later in as you get further into your businesses, you'll be looking at things, and Ed talks about this if you're at all interested in looking at, I believe he has a blog or an article on it on his website b2blauncher.com. Just go there and search his blogs. But anchor clients are something that are just a gift, an absolute gift. And I've, over the years, had anchor clients that just, they were my consistent, steady income that allowed me to then explore and take on other projects and different kinds of things. So it can be done. So good for you, Christian. That's cool. Lawrence says, I got laid off as a journalist and haven't been able to get a new full-time job. I assume it's ageism. Could be. So I've been doing freelance writing for publications for more than 10 years, but haven't been getting the kind of business clients I want. So I decided to use this to help me focus and do the things to make this a real business I can live on and bring in more corporate clients. Good for you. Again, heading in the right direction. This program will help you kind of shift your mindset towards working in that direction and then leveling up. So getting your first few clients, but now you just want to start looking at, so what kind of client do you want to be working with? And how do you work your way up that continuum or that ladder of better and better clients that pay more, that have bigger projects, that are treating you like a professional and reliable resource, someone that they can, a real go-to, and are willing to pay you properly and pay you well for that, for your time and your expertise. Julie says, I'm burned out in the corporate media environment. I bet you are. I've been trying to freelance in journalism for a while. It's not exactly sustainable financially. I've gotten a few gigs where people came to me, but they weren't the best fit. So I'm hoping to launch my own and have the ability to get the work I want that's a good fit and also pays. And I think great comment, Julie, because I think getting the work that you want that's a good fit and that also pays well, that's another thing that takes a little bit of time. Again, when I started out as a copywriter working full time, and I was really taking any client I could get my hands on, which is not a great, and this is before I started working with Ed. I had not gone through any of his programs, but I was desperate. I was just like, well, I need income. And so I was taking work that was the right work. In other words, I was doing a lot of ghostwriting for blogs. I was working for an agency and doing a ton of blogs. And it was outstanding experience. I was only getting paid like $200 a blog or something, maybe even $150 when I first started, something like that. Like a paltry amount. You got to write a lot of blogs to keep the lights on at that rate. So, but it was great work. And that was an agency that I worked with for probably 3 years. And over the course of every couple of months, like every six to 12, like the first year I worked for peanuts for them. And then I was like, wait a minute, you're happy. Your clients are happy. Let's have a conversation. And so even just with that same agency, I said, I want to go, I'm going to start charging this much. And they said, okay. And I wish that I had done it sooner. So, but they were happy. I mean, I was in that place of, I want to make sure they're happy and they know they can rely on me. And then, I actually asked for, I put out pay increases, rate increases with them, I think 3 or 4 times over the course of our time together. So, and they just kept saying yes. And I did it respectfully, but it was, if I'm going to put in this kind of time, I'm going to get paid. What that taught me on the backside was, now I'm looking for clients that are, I started changing my target audience a little bit so that I knew, okay, these guys are small peanuts. I really don't, yes, I can get a lot of work, but I'll be crazy busy and I'll barely be making any money. So I really wanted to level up. I started looking at other things. Blogs are a great way to get started. But they don't, depending on who you're writing for, they may or may not pay that well. So now you start looking at white papers and case studies and different types of things that allow you to charge more. And that's where you can start to, and then you can decide also, that's a time where you're feeling this out, saying, is this really what I like to do? Is this easy? And am I in flow, so to speak, when I'm writing? This is like fun and it's, Or is it like nails on a chalkboard kind of thing? Like, it's drudgery. So you kind of have to feel your way through some of these things to figure out exactly that. The work that you want, that's a really good fit, along with, decent pay. So that Hopefully it won't take you that long, but just know that there's a little, again, experimentation to be had in terms of finding that right, that sweet spot of clients. Takes a little bit of time. And Lawrence, I saw your comment here, joined the call late. Was there any important info that I missed? We talked, actually started out talking about, and I know you mentioned that you're laid off. Julie asked a question, and you're certainly welcome to go back. The recording will be available tomorrow, but she had asked a question about working full-time and trying to get her freelance business started on the site. The only other thing, Lawrence, that I mentioned is that our next call will be March 18th. That'll be the final call for the program, and Ed will be joining us on that day. So make a note of that in your calendar, and be sure to be here so that you can have a conversation with him. All right. Well, thank you for answering those questions. It's really helpful. And I think sometimes it's good for all of you. It's really good for all of you to kind of think about that and put it out there too, and share it with others. So, you know, what's my why? Why am I here? Sometimes that can be helpful to bring you back around. And Lawrence just added, he said, question for other participants. Is anybody else using website builders other than Wix? Yeah, and there's just one thing, Lawrence, that I will say. He said, you know, it doesn't have a place to add a lot of content, a lot of copy. Two things to think about. First of all, websites typically don't have as much copy as they used to. Certain pages do. So just bear that in mind, is that you don't want a website that's just jammed with copy. So just be mindful of that. But the other thing to think about is, in regards to that, is Wix, I know, allows you to edit most of the templates and put in the blocks, the text blocks are expandable. So you can, you know, drag them and you can even start from something really basic, a really basic site, and add blocks of text, and you can expand them and put in a fair amount if you decide you want to. So hope that helps. All right, Julie is jumping off. So good luck, Julie, have a good week. Right. So we've talked about a good number of things. Actually, it's an interesting conversation today. Thank you for being here and being part of it. Is there anything that's been the most helpful today? Anything that kind of stood out that was helpful for you as we talked about why we're here and different things that we're working on? Just type it in the chat so we can see. Right. And I also believe, Lawrence, that if you go to the Facebook group and you search on resources, I think it might be, I want to say hashtag resources, you will find a document that has all different kinds of resources that people use as they're getting their freelance business off the ground. And I believe there's a section on different types of website builder services that is included in that. So jump on the Facebook page, on the Facebook group, and search on, just in the search in our group, inside the group is hashtag resources, I believe. And you should be able to find some information there. You could also search on website builder in the group and see what comes up. And so the group has a long history before you folks came on. This has been running for a while, so you should be able to find some additional information out there. And I will ask you my final question for today is, what is your top action item that you're going to be taking? And it doesn't have to have anything to do with what we've discussed today, but just what are you going to be working on in the next week or so? between now and anything in particular? I know Julie's been working on her website. I think Rhonda, I said, I think you were talking about working on your website, but and Theo, sounds like you're going to be doing some emailing and possibly cold calling. It'll be interesting to hear about that. Anything else in terms of a top action item that you're going to be working on? All right, quiet group today. Not a problem. Rhonda says she'll be working on the next module. Excellent. Excellent. All right. Well, if we don't have any other questions or any other information to share. Lawrence said trying to get his website done and then move to number four. Great. Thanks, Theo. Take care. I think we'll wrap up our call today. And thank you for being here. Thanks for participating. And wish you all a good rest of the week. See you guys on Facebook. If you have questions, please don't hesitate to use the Facebook group and let us support you there in between this and the next call on the 18th. And you guys have a great rest of your week. Take care, everybody.